Let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for an opportunity to open up thy word, to see what the Spirit of God has to reveal to our hearts and to our minds concerning your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this day, Father, that 2,000 years ago, that your Son died on a cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And Father, this is a victory for everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have our life in him, that we have been saved by that precious blood that he shed on Calvary's cross, and that we have been justified because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the Holy Spirit would give power to the servant this morning, not to speak of himself, but to speak of the one who is given for each one of us on Calvary's cross, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. At the during the week, I had a call from a friend of mine who father's also a preacher. And he said to me that his father one Sunday many years ago spoke on Easter Sunday of the birth of Christ. And I kind of raised my eyebrows thinking, okay, what's the significance of speaking about the Lord's birth on Easter Sunday? And he said, well, it was very important, because the importance of his birth is actually why we recognize his death. He was born of a virgin. You tell that today to any scientist and he'll mock and dispute it, saying it's impossible. But the Bible is very prophetic, saying in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And when the time was right, the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Not only was he the Son of God, he was the only begotten Son of God. And that word in the Greek is similar to our word prototype. There's only one type of prototype when a manufacturer makes a car and then he scraps it. But there's only one, and there's only one Son of God, and his name is Jesus. And he is Emmanuel, according to the scripture, which means God with us. When Jesus was born, he was born of a virgin, which is a miracle in itself. But also, Emmanuel, God with us. And Hebrews tells us that God was manifest in the flesh, like you and I. He had flesh and blood. He didn't come in a spirit form. It wasn't a theophany. He was man, born like you and I, but without sin. Our brother read this morning, and I thought maybe he was reading my notes when he read from Acts chapter 2. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved of God. How many of us can say before we were saved that we were men approved of God? All have sinned. There was no approval coming from the God who created the heavens and the earth because of sin. And therefore, this man, when he was born, it says he was a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs to prove that he was the Son of God, that he came from God. And him being delivered by determinate counsel There was a determinate mission of man to put him to death. They were determined. But you know, God had different plans for his son. And though his son died a very cruel death on Calvary's cross, this is what God says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The scripture says that he wasn't even to see corruption when he went into death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The resurrection chapter. But I just want to point out a few things. Starting with verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and had rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the gospel in a nutshell. That is the gospel of God. That Jesus Christ was delivered. I received how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He died for our sin, my sin, your sin. See, we're all sinners. And somebody had to die to pay the penalty for that sin, and it happened to be God's Son, Jesus Christ. But he didn't just die. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. He was made sin for you and for me, who knew no sin. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went for you. He went for me because of our sins. He took all our sins. It says he took the sins of the whole world upon him. Now, it's bad enough that we have to bear our own sins. But can you imagine bearing the sins of the whole world? Only God incarnate could do that. God is a man taking on the sins of the world. Second thing, he was buried. In Psalms 16:10, it says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And what was the purpose of our Lord and his soul going to hell? Now don't forget now, Jesus Christ died on Friday. He was in the grave on Saturday, which happened to be the Jewish Sabbath. Now, the Jewish Sabbath is a day of rest. But Jesus Christ ended all of that while he was dead. Interesting. That's why Christians don't observe the Sabbath today. What was being accomplished while he was in the grave? In Revelation 1:18, it says this, I am he that liveth and was dead. We just sang that song. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. This wasn't in the song, but here's the key. And have the keys of hell and death. When he went into the grave on the Sabbath, went to hell, and he snatched from Satan's hands the keys to death and hell. That's our Savior. The one who died for you, went to hell, and took the keys of, he- of, of hell and death away from Satan and have made Satan powerless. Now, Satan is still a prince and power of the air, and he still has influences in this world. But Christ was victorious because he snatched away those keys. He no longer has control over hell any longer. And that brings me to my second point. When Christ descended, what did he do besides taking away the keys of hell and death? In Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth." And what did he do? "He that ascended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things." What he did is he went into hell, snatched the keys of hell and death from Satan, and then released all the Old Testament saints on that Sabbath day 2,000 years ago and took them up into glory in heaven. That's why as people who are believers today do not go to hell, which is compartmentalized into two sections, Abraham's bosom and the part that we really don't want to talk about, do we? The part that is full of torment, which is still there, and those who are in their sins are still there in torment. But he took the Old Testament saints and brought them to heaven. That was the cross work while he was dead. And then over in the next few verses in chapter 15 of Corinthians, it says this in 55, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." We remember Christ went to hell on the Sabbath. He snatched the keys of death away from Satan. Does that mean we don't die now? But it says this, that we have victory in our death when we do die, if the Lord does not come and snatch us away in the rapture. Because the very, very next verse says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the Lord. But thanks to God, he giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ was victorious on the cross of Calvary in taking our sins. And then he goes to hell and he snatches the keys of sin and death away from Satan. There's a story of a man who was going home from a funeral of his wife, and he had a couple of small children. And one of the children asked the father, "What was it like to die? Did mommy suffer? Was there a lot of pain in death?" And the father said to this young child, "You see the truck that's passing us?" And she says, "Yes." "Would you like to be hit by that truck or by its shadow?" And the girl says, "Obviously, by the shadow. You're not going to get hurt." Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. He took away that pain of death, the sting of death. If you're not saved, you're going to feel the full impact of sin when you die. And there are those who have been recorded who have died who did not know Jesus Christ, that didn't want to know Jesus Christ, and they cried out in pain and suffering, refusing Jesus Christ. Awful deaths, they say, occurred to these people who refused to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. He rose on the third day. In Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Three aspects of the cross: his death, his burial, and his resurrection. His resurrection meant that you are now justified before God the Father. That when you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, then you can stand before God completely justified, because your sins have been taken away once and for all by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Satan is powerless. We are justified, and we are victorious according to the Scriptures. He was delivered up for execution because of our sins, but then gloriously raised so that we can stand before God completely without sin. In Colossians, chapter 3. Reading 1 through 4. If then ye be risen with Christ, what does that mean? If ye then be risen with Christ. I was talking to believers, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know what happened? You died with Christ. When He died, and you say, that's my Lord and Savior, He died for my sins, then you died with Christ. What's he saying here? If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What does it mean? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means that we have been given a new nature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. We're dead to the old life. The life that you once lived is dead as far as God is concerned. Do you believe that? We're going to get into the proof of that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, he's coming back again. He did his first work. Here is a man. But he's coming back in glory, in full power. And things are going to change dramatically in this world. You won't have the sin that you see that's running rampant through this world today. The confusion. Sinful behavior that's going on, which is intolerable. But God is going to change that plan. I call these verses in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, the resurrection ground of every believer. Do you stand on resurrection ground this day? If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are on resurrection ground. But there are things that you must do to remain on resurrection ground. It's not just on Sundays. Once saved, we should maintain resurrection ground in our lives. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Some people take those things as, oh, I'm going to enjoy prosperity here in this world. It has nothing to do with this world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We just read from Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your affection on the things above, not on things of earth. See, we're getting back to the things again, right? And Romans 5, 2 says, by whom Jesus also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Three things that determines your standing on resurrection ground. And you can examine your lives every day with these three things. Seek. Set. Stand. Put those things into your mind. Matthew 6, Colossians 3, Romans 5. This is how we examine our stand. I mentioned in our Bible study the Friday night about Christians who buy lottery tickets. You want to examine your resurrection ground stand? Here it is. Where is your affections? People think if I only win the lottery, everything will be better, and I'll give all this to the Lord. Well, not all of it. Maybe I'll go back a little bit so I can be quite comfortable. You have not set your affections on the things above. You have set them on the things of this earth. Believe me, when I heard it on the news of the lottery that is, I don't know, some exorbitant millions and millions of dollars, my mind went there. Thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. What I could do. And as soon as I thought that, I had to bring into captivity those thoughts to the obedience of Christ, because I wasn't set my affections on the things above. I set them on the things of this earth. If you're a Christian, you're buying lottery tickets. You're not on resurrection ground. You're on the earthly ground. You have set your affections here. You have planted your feet here. The resurrection ground is a checklist for where our heart truly is. People say, you know, you don't know my heart. Of course I don't know your heart. But the Bible says don't trust your heart either. Proverbs says a man who trusts in his heart is a fool, because it can deceive you. It can bring you back to the earthly ground and not on the things of heaven. Revelation 3:20, we use this verse a lot when we go out and preach the gospel. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This verse is in connection with the church. It's in connection with the resurrection ground wherein we stand as Christians, as believers in the last days. Is going to be a falling away. We see that today in the churches. And what are they falling away for? What are the things that we are to use in our life so that we can seek those things that are above? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Set your affections on things in heaven, not on things on earth. And right here, who's standing at the door? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's standing at the door and he's asking, are you more concerned about the things of earth? Or are you concerned about the things of the kingdom? I am there knocking at the door. Will you allow me to come in? And I'm not just talking about Sundays when we come to worship the Lord. We open the door of our hearts and say, Lord, come in. We want to worship you and we want to praise you. But this other 6 days, we plant our feet in this world. seek, set, and stand. Open up that door every day. Because what does it say? He wants to come in and fellowship with you and with me. This is the God of heaven that wants fellowship. He desires fellowship with you. He wants to sup with you. Always intrigues me why people would want to live in this life and come on Sunday mornings thinking that it's okay. You know, my life is good, but throughout the week. A friend of mine used to say about that, a fun day on Sunday and a sneak through the week. Basically, that's what Christianity has become. Let's go to church and we'll have fun. As one brother preacher used to say, the church is not about happiness, it's about holiness. Because we're seeking those things that are in the kingdom, seek those things that are above, not on things below. And make our stand fast and sure on the grace that God has given to us. Don't trample on grace. There's consequences to that. There are. Oh, you might be saved, but if you think that you can get away with a sinful behavior and life in this world, there are consequences. Truly, you haven't opened the door onto resurrection ground where you're fellowshipping and supping with Christ. What else is on resurrection ground? I'll briefly summarize some of the things. On resurrection ground is where Christ will lift your burdens and your cares away. I don't know what your struggles are, but you hand them over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure you're on resurrection ground, that you're seeking the things of the kingdom. Don't plant your feet in this world and then expect God to just say, it's okay. He will lift those burdens, but you have to trust Him by faith. Don't lean on your own understanding. Another big mistake. He meets our needs. We triumph over sin and temptation when we're on resurrection ground. He gives wisdom and discernment for every situation. He brings comfort and joy in spite of tribulation. The Bible says, count it all joy when you suffer for Christ. You can only do that on a resurrection ground. When you're seeking those things that are above. You can be tortured and burned like they used to be. In other parts of the world where Christians are being tortured for the name of Christ. And they have joy in their suffering. We get a little bit of suffering in this world here, in a comfortable country that we live in, and we start complaining. You're not on resurrection ground if you're complaining. Examine yourselves. Remember, all those things shall be added unto you. John tells us that that's the abundant Christian life. The abundant Christian life that we live in the flesh. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things below. And stand in God's grace and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Shall we pray? Now, Father, we again thank you for another time that we have come into thy presence. We thank you for the word that encourages us, Father, to live in these last dark days as your children, those who have been bought with a price. We are not our own. We are thy servants to do thy bidding. And we thank you, Father, that this is all possible through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has justified us before thy sight with our sins forgiven, and we are cleansed forevermore. We give him all the glory and honor this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.